欢迎各位听众回到图塞澳洲中文广播电台。接下来我们将会播放与 Barrowa 选区联邦议员 Julian Lisa 的访问。
Hello and welcome everybody to 2CR Radio. Today it is our pleasure to welcome Julian Lisa, who's the federal member for Barrowa and also the Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians and the Shadow Minister for Education.
大家好, 今天我们非常高兴邀请到了 Barrowa 选区的联邦议员 Julian Lisa, 同时呢, 他亦是原住民事务影子部长以及教育事务影子部长。
It's wonderful to be with you here, Charlotte. Thanks for having me at 2CR.
非常高兴来到这里, Charlotte, 谢谢您邀请我来到2CR。
Of course. So first off, congratulations again on your new portfolios. How do you balance the two significant responsibilities of being Minister, Shadow Minister for Indigenous Australians and also for Education? And what are your immediate priorities in each role?
首先再次恭喜你获得新的影子内务职务。作为原住民事务影子部长, 同时亦兼任教育事务影子部长，您是如何平衡这两个重要的角色呢？而在您这两个范畴中的首要的工作重点又是什么？
Well, I'm excited about both portfolios, and they're both areas of deep interest, and they're both areas where it's about building the future of Australia. So in education, we've had a situation over the last few years where we've put record funds into education, and yet the results and standards of our school students have been seriously declining. And that's got to be the focus, the rigorous focus of what I'm going to bring to the education portfolio, a focus on ensuring that we've got the curriculum right, that people learn knowledge and facts in the curriculum, the so-called knowledge-rich curriculum, to ensure that we lift the standard in order that Australians are competitive in global testing. This is a great country. We want to ensure that our country is at the top of the world when we're performing in our global testing. In Indigenous affairs, Indigenous Australians, as we know, in so many of the relevant social indicators, don't share in the wealth and good fortune of our country. But there's a real opportunity coming down the line here. There's Indigenous title over something like 43% of the Australian landmass. There's an opportunity, if we get this right, to create transformational, multi-generational economic opportunities for Indigenous people and turbocharge not only the lives of Indigenous Australians, but the broader Australian economy. And I'm keen to explore how we can create better economic opportunities for Indigenous people. Some of that starts with ensuring the kids go to school, the parents get jobs, but it's that transformational economic opportunity from the Indigenous title that I think is really where I'm going to be focusing my efforts.
我对这两个职位都感到非常的振奋，因为他们都是我长期注重的领域，这都直接关系到澳洲的未来。在教育方面呢，过去的几年，政府投入了历年来最高的教育经费，但学生的学习成果和标准呢，却在明显的下滑。这正是我未来工作的核心重点，确保课程设计的正确，让学生真正的学习到知识与实。 这也是所谓的知识导向课程，从而提升澳洲学生在国际评比中的竞争力。那么澳洲呢，是一个伟大的国家，我们也希望呢，它在全球的教育评比中确保澳洲是始终排列前茅的。那至于原住民事务呢，我们都知道，在许多重要的社会的指标上，原住民澳洲人并未能共享这个国家的繁荣与成果。 但未来呢，其实存在一个非常重要的一个机遇。目前呢，原住民土地的权涵盖了大约是43%的澳洲国土面积。如果我们能够妥善的处理，这将为原住民社群带来一个具转型性、跨时代的经济机会，不仅能够改善原住民的生活，也能推动整体澳洲经济的发展。 那这其中呢，当然也包括确保孩子们能够上学，家长们能够就业。但我真正注意的是，是如何透过原住民土地权创造长远而具有转变性的经济机会。
That's really good to hear. Over the past few months, aside from what you've just told us, what else have you been focusing on most, both in Parliament and within your electorate as well?
这听起来非常令人兴奋。那除了刚才提到的工作重点之外呢？过去几个月，您在国会内以及在您所选的选区，还有特别注意哪些议题呢？
Well, within my electorate, there's three things I've been focusing on. At the last election, I took on Epping, which is a terrific area, lots of apartment growth there, and it's an area in transition. But it's got great train services there, great schools. The metro's been transformative, but what it lacks is parking. And so people can't go to Coles, they can't go to the doctor, they can't take the kids to tutoring, they can't go to the restaurants because there's just nowhere to park. And the state government's got these silly policies where they say, oh yes, build an apartment building, but you don't need to provide car parking for everyone. So there's people who are living in apartments trying to find places to park. There are people trying to visit finding places to park. I've started a petition to encourage more people, to encourage people to sign up to lend their voice to getting better parking in Epping. The second thing, and people who live particularly in Cherrybrook and West Pennant Hills will understand the truth of this, New Line Road is a road that is a real bottleneck in our community. My in-laws bought in Cherrybrook in the early 1980s. They were promised that New Line Road would be widened back then. It's nearly 50 years ago, and it's still not widened. And in that time, we've had expanding suburbs. So I am igniting a plan to widen New Line Road. I got money when we were in government to plan for the widening. The Perrottet government put down $70 million to commence the widening, but the Minns government has put the project on ice. It's time we brought New Line Road widening to the front of the queue. The third local issue for me has been, as I've become the Shadow Education Minister in recent months, and just as a local member, I've noticed that we have more and more families who want to put their children in selective schools. And that's a great thing. I think it's wonderful to see people aspiring to academic excellence. But increasingly, as I'm at the train stations and talking to families, people are going a long way out of area for a selective school option. There are children travelling from my electorate to Gosford High School. There are children travelling from my electorate to Sydney Boys and Sydney Girls right across town. Now, nothing wrong with those things, but I wonder whether we need another selective high school closer to home. And that's the thing that I'll be talking about lots locally. In terms of issues in the education portfolio, I've been particularly focused on the rising costs that people are facing in education. So we recently had the inflation figures, and inflation across the board had gone up 3.8% across the year. In education, it's gone up 5.6%. In childcare, 11.2%. It now costs $36,000 to put a child through childcare on average. That's before the subsidies. $36,000 sounds like the sort of money parents need to pay if they want to send their child to a famous private school. These costs have gone up and up under the Labor government because they've got the spending out of control and because the regulation has got out of control. We need to create more productivity in our country. We create more productivity by cutting regulation, by getting people educated. But again, in the education system, the government is falling 15,000 people short of the number of people they were expecting to enter the higher education market. So they're failing their own targets. And I've been holding the government to account for the rising costs of living, particularly the rising costs in education and the declining productivity. They've got a new bureaucracy they want to smother the universities with, a $54 million bureaucracy. Now, no one who works in the university sector believes the sector is under-regulated, and everybody could tell you better things that they could do with $54 million than duplicating a bureaucracy that already exists. So these have been the things that we've been focused on, as well as holding the government to account for the failure to turn all the extra money they're pumping into the system into better performance of Australian students at literacy, numeracy and other international testing.
在我的选区内呢，我主要聚焦在三个方面。那么在上一次选举之后呢，我接手了 Epping 地区，这是一个正在转型的社区，有大量的公寓发展，铁路服务完善，学校优质，地铁系统呢也带来了一个翻天覆地的改变，但唯一不足的就是 停车位严重不足。那居民呢无法方便的去超市看医生，送孩子们去补习，甚至外出用餐，因为根本找不到停车位。那州政府呢进行了一些不合理的政策，容许了新建公寓时不必匹配足够的停车位。因此呢，我已经发起了请愿，那呼吁居民一同发声，争取改善 Epping 的停车问题。那么第二个重点呢，特别是住在 Cherrybrook 以及 West Pennant Hill 的居民一定深有体会，那就是 New Line Road。 那在这一条道路上面是社区内一个非常严重的交通瓶颈。我的岳父母呢，在1980年代初于 Cherrybrook 购房，那当时的政府呢，已承诺会扩宽 New Line Road， 那距今呢，已经接近了50年，但至今仍未实现。在这一段时间内，州区的社区不断的扩展，那我在执政期间呢，也争取到了规划经费，前任政府呢，也拨款了7000万澳元，准备开展扩展的工程。然而 Chris Minns 工党政府呢却将该项目搁置。我认为现在是时候让 New Line Road 的扩宽工程重新的排回优先处理的前列。第三个地方议题呢是与教育有关的。那我注意到了有越来越多的家庭呢希望让孩子入读精英中学，我认为这是一个非常正面的事情，但不少的家庭呢也需要让孩子长途的通勤。有学生从我的选区前往Gosford High School， 甚至是横跨整个悉尼到 Sydney Boys 或 Sydney Girls 就读，这本身是没有任何的问题的，但我认为值得思考是否应该在更接近社区的地方增设一所精英中学。在教育事务方面呢，我特别关注的是家庭在教育方面所面对的持续上升成本。那现在整体的通胀率呢为 3.8%， 但教育成本呢上升了 5.6%， 而托儿的服务的费用呢更是上升到了 11.2%。 目前呢平均而言，每名孩子每年的托儿费用就高达了36000澳元，而且这些还未计算政府的补贴。那么在工党政府的执政之下呢，由于政府开支及监管失控，这些成本呢持续上升。而这样子的金额过去往往是家长们为孩子就读著名的私立学校才需要支付的。澳洲呢现在需要提升整体的生产力，而方法之一呢就是减少过度监管，同时确保人民能够接受良好的教育。然而在高等教育体系中呢，实际入学人数呢比政府原先预期少了约15000人。政府未能达成自身定下的目标，而我一直在生活成本上升，特别是教育成本以及生产力下降的问题要求政府负责。政府计划呢设立一个耗资5400万澳元的新官僚机构来监管大学，但大学界内呢几乎没有人认为现行的制度监管不足。所有人都能想到，比起重复的设立官僚架构，还有更值得投放这5400万澳元的用途。
Of course, segueing on from that, particularly in the education sector, international students have been facing uncertainty following the government's announcement of caps and tighter restrictions on overseas student enrollments. What is your perspective on these policies?
那么我们继续延续这个话题，政府呢也宣布了对国际学生数量的限制，并收紧了相关的政策之后呢，许多国际学生对此感到前景不明朗。您是如何看待这些政策的呢？
Well, international education is our fourth largest export industry in Australia, and international students make a very important contribution to learning here. But in order to be successful, we've got to ensure that they're getting the product right. So firstly, we've got to make sure that we've got the numbers right. Secondly, we need to make sure that they're getting a good experience when they come here. And thirdly, we've got to ensure that the quality remains high. And I am concerned that on all three of those things, the government has got it wrong.
And why exactly is that?
Well, you only need to look at some institutions where the that the classes are basically 80% international students. They're not getting a domestic experience here of coming to Australia. That the quality of their experience is not particularly good because institutions are not providing adequate housing for international students. And you hear repeated stories of couch surfing. If international education is going to be a benefit to Australia, people have to have a good experience here. And if they're not getting a good experience, their impression of Australia when they go home will be much more negative. To my mind, we need to make sure that our education offerings are competitive with overseas education offerings, and the experience of students is such that students want to choose to come to Australia first and foremost. We want the best and brightest here, and we can best do that by ensuring quality, numbers and experience are properly focused.
国际教育是澳洲第四大出口产业，而国际学生对澳洲的学习环境也做出了非常重要的贡献。但若要成功，我们必须要把三件事情做好：人数的规模、学生的体验以及教育的素质。 而我担心的是，政府在这三个方面都出现了判断错误。你只需要看看某些院校，班级里面几乎有80%都是国际学生，他们并没有真正体验到澳洲本地的学习环境。那么，由于学校未能提供足够的住宿的配套，他们整体体验呢也并不理想。我们也不断的听到国际学生需要借宿沙发的情况。 如果国际教育要真正的为澳洲带来益处，学生在澳洲的整体体验必须是要正面的。否则，当他们回到自己国家时，对澳洲的印象就会变得相当的负面。我们必须要确保澳洲的教育具备有国际竞争力，让学生在众多的选择之中优先选择来到澳洲留学。我们希望吸引最优秀、最有潜力的学生。 而这也必须要同时重视教育的素质、招生规模以及学生体验。Perfect.
Moving on, given the current geopolitical tension around the world, there is also growing concern about how overseas conflicts can affect social cohesion in Australia. How important do you think it is to ensure that these tensions do not spill over domestically? And what role should the government play in preventing hate, violence, and radicalization so that tragedies like the Bondi attack can be prevented in the future?
在当前的全球地缘政治紧张的背景之下呢，社会越来越开始关注海外的冲突是否会影响澳洲的社会凝聚力。您认为防止这些紧张的情绪在国内蔓延有多重要？那么政府呢，在预防仇恨、暴力及激进化的方面，也应该扮演什么样的角色呢？
Well, for the last 2.5 years, I've been calling for the government to take stronger action to actually enforce the law. What we've seen on our streets in the last few years has been the government failing to take proper action to ensure that people can't go on the streets and say, gas the Jews, where's the Jews, call the murder of people a day of celebration, call for the violent murder of their fellow citizens by shouting things like globalise the Intifada and river to the sea. When institutions and leaders in institutions, whether it's universities, the Human Rights Commission, or the police and governments generally fail to address violence early, then people just think, oh, I can just keep pushing the envelope. And what we've seen over the last 2.5 years since the October 7 terrorist attacks in Israel and the protests that we've seen here and the violence against the Jewish community, which has spread into violence against other communities, including the Chinese community, is a failure to enforce the law. When you enforce the law, when you do it rigorously, when you set the boundaries and make them a hard boundary, then people realise that there's no further room to move. And what we saw in the last couple of weeks with the protests that took place in the centre of Sydney, the very violent protests that took place in the centre of Sydney, was yet again the Palestine Action Group, the radical left-wing protesters that are behind that group, they felt that the law didn't apply to them. They were given permission to protest in Hyde Park, but instead of protesting in Hyde Park, they decided to have a demonstration against the lawful instructions of the police, upheld by the courts in a challenge that they had made. They decided to have a protest in the middle of the city, and they decided to make it a violent protest. There's no space for that in Australia. There's no space for violence on our streets. One of the great things about this country, one of the things that's made it such a success is that people have left the tension from overseas at home. And I think that's been very bad that we've seen that in recent times. We also know that the hate that starts with Jews and a lot of this hatred that ultimately ended in Bondi was directed at Jews. It never ends with Jews. When there is racism directed against one community, the racism rises more broadly in our community. And I think it's very, very important in terms of maintaining our social cohesion that the law apply equally to everyone and that it be rigorously enforced.
在过去的两年半，我一直呼吁政府必须更严格地执行法律。我们在街头看到的是，政府未能及早地介入，导致有人公然地鼓吹暴力、庆祝杀戮，并误以为可以不断地试探法律的底线。当大学、人权的机构、警方及政府未能及时的采取行动时，部分的人便会以为法律对他们来说并不适用。自10月7日恐怖袭击以来呢，我们看到针对犹太群体，甚至是扩散至其他社群，包括华人社群的暴力行为，这也反映了执法上的失败。唯有严格执法，清楚地划定不可逾越的界限，人们才会明白没有任何的模糊空间。在过去几个星期，我们看到悉尼市中心发生了极为暴力的示威行动，巴勒斯坦行动组也显然地认为法律并不适用于他们。警方呢，原本批准他们在 Hyde Park 的集会，但他们却选择无视警方的合法指示，转而在市中心进行示威。而且他们刻意的将示威演变成暴力行为，这种行为呢，在澳洲是绝对没有容身之处的。澳洲其中一项重要的优势一直以来就是人们能够把海外的冲突留在海外，而近期发生的事件呢，已经对社会凝聚力造成了严重的伤害。针对犹太人的仇恨从来不会只停留在犹太人身上，当仇恨针对某一个族群时，往往会扩散到其他族群。正因如此，法律必须一视同仁，并且得到严格的执行，这一点是至关的重要的。
On that, how do you balance the right of freedom of speech and multiculturalism with preventing such violence in Australia?
那您如何在保障言论自由与多元文化的同时呢，防止暴力行为的发生呢？
Well, I would absolutely defend people's right to protest, to change the foreign policy of the government of the day. They're welcome to do that. The place where they make foreign policy is Parliament House in Canberra. It's not the middle of the streets of Sydney. People can go there. The other thing I would say is I address a whole range of different communities who want to change the foreign policy of Australia, whether it's the Iranian community that wants us to take a stronger stance internationally against a terrorist regime that attacked our own country, whether it's the Kurds who want Australians to take stronger stands against ISIS and the countries where the Kurds are trying to exist and are fighting for the same values that Australians hold, whether it's the Armenians who want people to recognise the genocide and what's been happening in Artsakh, whether it's the Ukrainians who want Australia to step up. All those people have demonstrations and have occasions where people come together to talk about these issues and encourage change, but none of them, I repeat, none of them engage in the violence of the Palestine Action Group. And I think people have the right to protest, but they do not have the right to engage in violent protest, and they do not have the right to call for the death of their fellow citizens. That's what makes the Palestine Action Group particularly odious, and what makes the protests that they've engaged in particularly harmful to our social cohesion.
我完全支持民众以和平方式示威，并就政府的外交政策表达意见，但制定外交政策的地方是坎培拉的国会大厦，而不是悉尼的街头。许多社群，包括伊朗人、库尔德人、亚美尼亚人、乌克兰人，都会以和平的方式表达诉求，没有人会使用暴力。人们有示威的权利，但没有权利进行暴力示威，更没有权利呼吁杀害其他公民。这正是巴勒斯坦行动组织的行为，对社会的凝聚力造成特别严重的破坏的原因。如果有人来到澳洲却基于种族或宗教去攻击其他的公民的话，那么这里就没有他们的容身之地。
Thank you for sharing that. We're going to move now on to questions with about the party itself. Yep. So recent changes have been made within the Liberal Party, and Angus Taylor has recently been elected as leader. What are your thoughts on this leadership change, and what does this signal about the party's direction in the future?
接下来呢，我们再把话题转向自由党本身。在最近 ，Angus Taylor 呢当选为了自由党党魁。这次领导层的变动对自由党的未来方向有何启示呢？
Well, Angus Taylor comes to our party's leadership as a very experienced person who's been a minister in recent Liberal governments. He also comes with a wide background in business. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He's been a management consultant. He understands what it takes to get the economy moving. And that's why the focus of his first week of leadership, and this is the first This is the one-week anniversary of his leadership where we're talking today, has been on growing the economy. And what do we need to grow the economy? We need to cut government spending. We need to cut taxes. We need to cut regulation. We need to get the economy moving again because the government has poured 5,000 pages of regulation on us. We've seen interest rates go up. We've seen energy go up. We've seen the cost of living go up. And all of this makes it harder and harder for Australians to get by. It makes it harder and harder for people to start a business and succeed. So this has been his focus. His other area of focus has been on migration and social cohesion. And he's made it very clear, and I want to make it very clear, that if you come to this country and you want to have a go at your fellow citizens on the basis of their race or religion, there's no place for you here. That's the message from Angus Taylor. That's a message from me too.
Angus Taylor 以一位经验非常丰富的人士带领我们的政党，他曾在近届自由党政府中担任过部长，也拥有过广泛的商业背景，是罗德学者，也曾担任过管理顾问，清楚了解如何推动经济的发展。因此呢，在他上任的第一个星期，也就是我们今天对话时正好满一周，他的工作重点呢一直放在如何推动经济增长。那么要让经济增长的话，我们需要做些什么呢？我们需要减政府开支，减税，减少繁琐的监管，让经济重新运转起来。因为现任的政府呢，已经向社会增加了多达5000页的监管规定。我们看到利率上升，能源价格上升，生活成本不断上涨，这一切都让澳洲人越来越难以对付日常的生活，也让创业与成功变得更加的困难，这正是他目前主要关注的方向。他另外一个很重要的关注范围呢，就是移民政策与社会凝聚力。他已经非常清楚地表明了立场，我也同样要明确地指出，如果你来到这个国家却基于种族或宗教去攻击其他公民，那么这里没有你的地方。这是 Angus Taylor 的讯息，也是我的立场。
Similar to that, how do you view the rise of the One Nation Party? And given the concerns that the Chinese Australian community have, how does the Liberal Party seek to engage and respond to these changes?
您是如何看待一国党 One Nation Party 的崛起呢？同时呢，鉴于华裔澳洲社区对此的关切，自由党将会如何与社区沟通并回应这种变化？
Well, look, I think the first thing to say is that Pauline Hanson said lots of nasty things about me because of my support for multiculturalism over the years. So I'm not going to be giving Pauline Hanson any special treatment. We have to engage with her in the parliament like anyone else. The main focus that we have as the Liberal Party, though, is to ensure that we are actually providing an offering for Australians so they choose us first and foremost. And that's why Angus particularly wants us to focus on growing the economy, on getting things moving again, on reducing red tape, and creating a more socially cohesive Australia. That's in everyone's interest.
我认为首先要说的是，因为我多年来支持多元文化， Pauline Hanson 曾对我发表过许多带有攻击性的言论，因此我不会给他任何的特殊待遇。在国会中呢，我们会像对待其他议员一样与他互动，但自由党的核心重点是确保我们能够提出一套真正符合澳洲人需要的政策方案，让他们把自由党作为首要的选择。正因如此， Angus Taylor 呢特别希望我们能专注于推动经济成长，重启发展动能，减少繁琐的行政规管，并建立一个更具有社会凝聚力的澳洲，这符合所有人的共同利益。
More broadly, how else do you feel the Liberal Party can rebuild that trust and strengthen engagement with suburban and multicultural communities, including areas like Epping within your electorate?
那么自由党是如何重建与郊区以及多元文化社区的互信呢？包括像 Epping 这样的地区。
Well, multicultural communities, particularly the Chinese community, it's part of us, and we're part of the Chinese community too. I think firstly, it's about having a policy suite that sings to people. And lots of Chinese Australians that I talk to in the community talk to me about the rising cost of living. There's lots of Chinese business people in my community who talk to me about the importance of being able to start a business, about the regulation and red tape that's grown just to open a business, to maintain a business, to employ people. We want to encourage that, and not just for the Chinese Australians, but for all Australians, particularly in outer suburban communities. And we want to create a cohesive society. So I'm very excited in my own community that we're having the very first ever Chinese New Year celebrations in Epping this weekend. It's being run by Parramatta Council. I want to give a shout out to my friend Srini Pillamari, who's on Parramatta Council, who's been a real advocate for this to happen in Epping. I think it's long overdue given the size of the community. So I think it's all about making sure we've got the right policies and making sure that we are talking to people and giving them opportunities to input into our work. It's why I've been door knocking in Epping. It's why I've been doing lots of street stalls and really ensuring that we're getting our message out there.
多元文化社群，特别是华人社区，本身就是我们的一部分，而我们也同样属于华人社区。我认为首先要提出一套能够真正引起共鸣的政策。我与许多华裔澳洲人交流时，他们经常提到生活成本上升的问题。社区中也有不少的华人企业家向我反映，创业经营生意及聘请员工时面临的监管与繁文缛节越来越多。那我们希望呢，鼓励创业精神，这不仅是为了华裔澳洲人，也是为了所有澳洲人，特别是我们的郊区社区。同时呢，我也希望建立一个更具有凝聚力的社区。我自己呢也非常高兴，在我的社区 Epping 本周末呢将会首次举办华人农历新年庆祝活动。那活动呢将会由 Parramatta 市议会主办。我想特别感谢我的朋友市议员 Srini Pillamari， 他一直大力的推动在 Epping 举办的这一项活动。那么考虑到社区的规模，这样的庆祝活动呢其实早就应该出现。因此呢，我认为关键在于制定正确的政策，同时持续与社区对话，让民众有机会参与我们的工作。这也是为什么我会亲自上门拜访居民，设立街头摊位，确保我们的讯息能够真正的传达出去。
Finally, before we wrap up, as we are currently celebrating Lunar New Year, is there a message or blessing you would like to share with our audience?
那么最后呢，借此农历新年之际，您有什么祝福想要送给我们的听众的呢？
Well, let me say to everyone in the Chinese Australian community, Kong Hi Fa Chai, I hope that this year of the horse is one of prosperity, of peace, of plenty, and good fortune for everyone. Thank you. And it's an honor to have a friendship with the Chinese community that goes back a long way before my time as a parliamentarian. And it's such an honor to represent wonderful Chinese Australians in the Australian Parliament.
向所有华裔澳洲社群的朋友们说一声恭喜发财，祝愿马年为大家带来繁荣、和平、富足与好运。能够在澳洲国会代表华裔澳洲人是我莫大的荣幸。
Thank you so much for your time today. That ends our interview here.
Thanks, Charlotte.
非常感谢您今天抽空接受采访，本次的采访到此结束。